Today's episode is brought to you by Clark's. Clark's makes some amazing boots and shoes, and their story began 200 years ago when Cyrus and James Clark made a slipper from sheepskin. At the time, it was groundbreaking, a combination of invention and craftsmanship that's remained at the heart of what Clark's does. From the very beginning, Clark's has always thought differently. Brilliant ideas are what set Clark's apart. We're teaming up with Clark's and Podgo to bring you up to 30% off on selected items, including the iconic Clark's Desert Boot, by going to podgo.co/Clark's. That's podgo.co/Clark's. Have you been in quarantine? Are you ready to enter the wild again? There's a chance no one has seen your coconuts in months. Don't ruin your first post-quarantine date with hairy coconuts. Would you show up to the first day of school without a haircut? Nope. Manscaped is here to provide you with the best tools for your grooming experience. The Lawnmower 3.0 is the best hygiene tool for the modern man. Because of the ceramic blade and advanced skin-safe technology, your snags will be reduced while preparing yourself for post-quarantine life. Manscaped is forever changing the grooming game with their Perfect Package 3.0 Essential Kit. The Perfect Package 3.0 comes with new and improved Lawnmower 3.0, waterproof cordless body trimmer, performance boxer briefs, and a travel bag for you to use when you're done quarantining. The Perfect Package 3.0 also comes with Manscaped Crop Preserver deodorant and Crop Reviver toner. The Crop Preserver is anti-chafing deodorant, which ensures your afternoon stroll through the jungle doesn't result in sticky coconuts. The Crop Reviver is a spray-on toner and made with soothing aloe and witch hazel extracts to give your coconuts a special boost. Subscribers to the Peak Hygiene Plan get a new replacement blade refill for your Lawnmower 3.0 delivered to your door every 3 months, making sure your trimmer stays fresh and clean. The light is at the end of the tunnel, fellas. Treat yourself for making it through the quarantine and welcome back to the jungle with a Perfect Package 3.0. Get 20% off plus free shipping with code SLOPDROP at manscaped.com. That's 20% off plus free shipping at manscaped.com when you use SLOPDROP, S-L-O-P-D-R-O-P. Your first post-quarantine date will thank you.
Here comes the slot drop. I can answer that. That's a slot drop. What is that move? That's a slot drop.
Slot drop time.
What's up, humanoids? Welcome back to the Slop Drop. This is Nathan Rogers at WooPigSumo on Twitter, and we're joined tonight by the unluckiest man on planet Earth, Diamond David Lee, the manager of champions, Stephen E., the voice of the Twin Lakes Sports Network, the loose cannon, David McBee, and the hardest working man in professional wrestling, the space cowboy, Jason Jones. What's up, fellas?
What's up, man?
What's going on, man? Space cowboy, good to see you in the house. McBee,
man, it's good to see
you.
Is your cat laying on your chest, or is that a beer?
Hey! I gotta have this beer just in case if we need a special stipulation later on in the next 2 years of we want to get some kid over. You know how you get him over? You shave Stephen E's beard. Then the world will hate him.
You know what's crazy? You know, we're gonna go back and talk about old stuff that we've done over the years and stuff.
Oh man!
But man, I remember looking at OE's beard here, and he had this little spot of gray.
Yeah,
right here, and the rest was jet black, and you know, not so much anymore.
Well, you there's two things that brought this gray beard on. First is when I opened my shop, man. I used to do this gimmick where I took a selfie, 365 picture, stupid little thing, and I actually pinpointed where I started to go gray about 2010, 1 year after I opened my shop. I got a little tiny circle right there, and then now we're, you know, I can be booked as a Santa Claus. So we're multifaceted. I can book myself a Santa Claus, but yeah. And then of course, number two, my daughter, she put a lot of this in here.
Luckily I don't have any daughters, but I know two little boys that make you lose your hair. So
all I can say, man, is I am pumped up. All the fans out there tuning in, don't change that dial. They're going to miss this $1 million smile because I'm marking out big time. We got the space cowboy, Jason Jones, on here. Of course, I got my merch.
Love the hat.
Yeah, love awesome hat right here. And I started finding like all these autographed pictures. We got, you know, the young stallion Jason Jones right here, and You know, I got like all different ones. So,
oh, wow.
Marking out tonight. So it should be a fun broadcast.
This would be fun, man. You know, JJ's on here quite a bit, and sometimes we kind of overlook the fact that you've had quite a good career yourself. So spotlight's on you tonight, man. Instead of doing some recaps and talking about other stuff, let's talk about the Space Cowboy. Let's talk about Mid-States Wrestling. Stephen E's one of the top managers, the top manager there. But how long have you been involved in wrestling? Of course, we all know the answer, but to some of the newer viewers or listeners, let's get familiar with the Space Cowboy.
Well, this is my 24th year in the business. I started when I was actually training when I was in high school, when I was a senior. Did some ring announcing, did anything I could do to get my foot in the door. Started taking some bumps and worked my way into being a ring announcer. It's what we wanted. But, of course, you start off with that. You eventually want to do something else. And so there's times that I still do the ring announcing, the play-by-play, but then that boyhood dream just makes you want to come back and get punched in the mouth on the weekend. So – you know, I figure I got a few more good years in it of getting my ass whipped. And then I'll go to start, you know, maybe doing some play-by-play interviews, some more announcing, all that good stuff. But, yeah, I've been doing this for quite a while since I'm technically like 97.
Well, Cowboy, I got a question for you. And I can't believe I've never asked you this. But, you know, the nickname, the Space Cowboy, how did you come up with that nickname? I've never even heard the story.
That's a good story.
When I first started off in the business, my name was Jason Jones, and I was just a ring announcer. Well, I worked for an old guy. His name was Ron Fortune. He was the carniest of the carniest promoters. He was one of those guys that was like, I was the original Dr. X and wrestled under a hood. Now, let me tell you something, boys and girls. If you ever meet an old person and they claim to be a masked person back in the day, like an original assassin, odds are they're full of crap. So that was my first intro to the business, but he's like, hey, I'm going to call you Double J. And I'm like, well, there's a guy named Jeff Jarrett. So no. And he's like, oh, you're Double J. So I took it. I ran with it. And I, like everybody else just make fun of me. They'd be like, hey, Jeff Jarrett, you know, but I just hated it for like 3 years. I hated it. And I was on a road trip. It was a double shot in Kansas with my buddy Pimp Tight, Kevin Love Jones, is no longer with us, and Chris Allred. And we kind of ran around together when we were booked on stuff. And we did the Friday night, and we were driving. I want to say it was to Coffeyville, Kansas on a Saturday. We're in the middle of nowhere, and I'm like, I've got to come up with a new name. So it's like an hour's worth of driving, and we're just stressing, like, what could I be? What could I be? And I'm – you know, at the time, one big thing was to take somebody else's famous name. Like, you know, I'll be Jason Windham or, you know, and I was like, this, no, I just want to be my real name. And it was like in the middle of nowhere, and I'm just hitting my head just hard. And I was like, you know, I could be the Space Cowboy. And just Chris just kind of chuckles for a minute. And I mean, it was like a sign from God, like 5 seconds later. I'll be damned if Steve Miller didn't come on the radio with that opening line. Some people call me the Space Cowboy. And we just kind of looked at each other. And Kevin was like, well, hey, if you're the Space Cowboy, I'm the Gangster of Love. And then Chris was like, and I'm Maurice, baby. So we just kind of had an inside joke. And then like 2 weeks later, we had a show. And I went out and I took my little Double J jersey that I used to have, a little football jersey. And I said, from this point on, I'll be known as Space Cowboy. And I didn't even really know what it meant, man. I still don't know what the hell it means. Everybody's like, is it a stoner thing? Is it, I don't know. It's just, I have no idea, man. So I'm the Space Cowboy, Jason Jones. I just thought it sounded cool. You know,
it does sound cool. You figure Space, you're talking what?
Space.
23 years. You've carried that moniker, and it just rolls off the tongue so well. You know, the Space Cowboy, Jason Jones. I wouldn't, you know, anytime I call you personally, what's the first thing? What's up, Space? You good, Space? You know, I don't call you Jason. I don't call you Jason too much. I'm always calling you Space. You know,
Space.
And I think a lot of people were like that. So you know, after 20 something years. And the name is stuck like that. You forever. It doesn't matter. I don't care if you come up with the coolest nickname, you know, after this podcast, you're still going to be Space.
Spice.
Space.
You mentioned you started training in high school, right after high school. Tell us a little bit about your training.
When I broke into the business, I was a big wrestling fan, and there was a local promoter came, and this is actually before I started training and everything. I worked at Walmart when I was a kid, like, you know, a junior, like 16, 17 years old. And he was doing some local matches at in Harrison at the youth center. And I said, "Hey man, do you guys need any help doing anything?" They had some of the wrestlers there signing autographs. And he was like, "Hey man, if you want to come by tonight when you get off work, I'll find something for you to do." And my first job that they gave me, now keep in mind, I'm like 16. I might've been 17 then. They handed me in the office, they had a microphone and they had a tape deck. So the wrestlers would bring their music on a tape, an audio cassette tape, children. And they would have it queued up to that point where they would start to play. What I would do, because the PA system was just junk, when it was time for that particular wrestler, he wrote out a card and this is the order you're going to play him. I would hit play on the thing and hold the microphone to the boombox thing, and it would go out over the PA system. He said, give them a minute to get in the ring and kind of make a circle and do their little thing, then fade it down. And they had a dual cassette. You would hit the other guys and do the same thing. Now, as soon as that match was over, you turn the microphone off and you rewound that and got it back to that spot. So the next night they had that tape ready to go in the same spot. So that was my first job in pro wrestling, was that.
Was that with Ron Fortune and WCCW, or was that?
No, that was actually before.
That was Playboy Matt Sisko, baby.
Playboy Matt Sisko. Yeah, that's, man. Right. And then,
I remember that. You know, the one key part of that story that he's leaving out is that's the first time that Stephen E and the Space Cowboy joined hands. That's the first night we met, Jason.
It was like Hogan and Savage.
It was a powerful handshake.
Oh man. Well, you know, after all these years, you know, not so much in the last couple of years, but you know, that chance meeting that we had, you know, really, really, really formulated and really, you know, laid the groundwork for what we would do for many, 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 many years. You know, of course, sure. In wrestling, you know, you're only going to be as good as your counterpart. And, you know, me and Space, man, we had some memorable things that we made magic.
We beat the piss out of each other's wife.
God almighty, man.
I remember you beating me so bad during that barbed wire match with Kevin, and you were above me just hitting me. And yeah. I just looked up and I was like, please stop. And I was just, I had a knot on my head and Steven just frogging me. Just
well, that, that,
making
that,
sure
that,
I was busted wide
hey,
open.
Hey, make no mistake about it. It may have been a year or maybe a couple years later. We're in, I was Mid-States Heavyweight Champion. And we're doing something, and me and Jason are we've got a match. I can't remember, you know, the stipulations or if there was any stipulations. But, you know, at this point, I'd already started to grow out my beard. And so I had a beard. And he goes to do his little jabs. And this sumbitch, like, just cold cock. I mean, hits me right square in the chin. You know,
I couldn't tell where jawline was.
No, hit me hard enough to where it felt like he knocked my jaw out of alignment. And, you know, anytime I would go like that, I just have this horrible pain. Well, that was after the first one. I knew that I had at least one more to go, and then the elbow to finish it. And man, I tell you what, we've had some good times, Space. We've had some good times, man. And
I actually remember the one promoter you're talking about that claimed that he was the original Dr. X or wrestling.
That's right. You met Ron Fortune, didn't you, back in the day?
A couple times.
You may have known him as what they call him, you know, behind the curtains is the Silver Fox, you know. Do you remember that mullet?
No, that was a different guy. That was
that
the
not
next
Ron
guy.
Fortune? Oh, shit. Okay. I was thinking that was Ron Fortune.
It was about, this, that was about around that time.
Yeah, that was Adrian's dad. Okay. I'm getting my people mixed up.
The statute of limitations have ran out, but it's also about the time I used to buy bootleg tapes from you. And I still have Four Horsemen.
We traded bootleg tapes.
Freebird VHSs.
Hey, you can't talk about bootleg tapes unless you plug Davis in here. Jason knows what I'm talking about. Jason, you know what I'm talking about.
I have no idea what you're talking about, man.
Hey, we might know somebody who, yeah. We
I played the fifth.
Yeah, we
I
don't want to. He had every Monday Night Raw way before DVRs were ever available. And, you know, back in the 90s, man, tape trading was a huge deal. You know, for us, we didn't see, you know, like, you know, I don't want to say the barbed wire matches or, you know, any of the ECW stuff or, you know, of course the Japan stuff, you know, unless you were trading tapes, you know, you couldn't just go to
right.
Lords of Pain or whatever your, you know, your internet dirt sheet was, you know, you couldn't do that back then. So that was it.
Yep. You're absolutely right.
Well, good Space time. Cowboy, kind of tell us, you know, when you were a fan before you got into pro wrestling, what was that wrestler that really grabbed your attention and really made that impression on you that says, man, I want to get involved in pro wrestling?
It was, you know, I've been asked that a lot, and I would have to say it was probably Dusty Rhodes and it was probably Ric Flair, those two. And just Flair, because he was so cool just to be the bad guy, you know, and just those promos that he cut. Dusty was just showed you that you didn't have to be a muscle bound, you know, blonde hair, blue eyes, 7 foot tall. He was anti Hogan for me. It was just like, hey man, that guy's fat. He can do it. Maybe I've got a shot. No, but he just had a common man vibe going for him. And that's probably the two that I would accredit the most to wanting to get in the business, watching Flair, watching Dusty. And then when you put those two together, that's magic, baby. Magic.
A lot of the current stuff has evolved, some think for the better, some think for the worse. Do you watch any of the current stuff? If so, what stands out that you like? What stands out that maybe you're not a fan of?
As far as the current stuff, I mean, I've been on here with you guys and not watched the stuff and just had to kind of play, hey, I'm here. I watched the Royal Rumble with some of the same buddies I've watched the Royal Rumble with since high school. So I watched the Royal Rumble. Of course, you're going to watch WrestleMania every year. And I might watch SummerSlam. It may be later, maybe on the replay. I don't know. I don't keep up with the current product. I have not watched the Monday Night Raw in a long time. Every now and then when they do those Legend Nights or something, I'll watch it back the next day on Hulu or put it on the background for noise just to kind of see those old guys and what they got going on. I think that there really is some great talent, though, out there, not to be overlooked. I mean, myself and Niles Plonke, we were in Tulsa a couple weeks ago, and we were staying at the Hard Rock, and we went upstairs. There's a bar there, and it's a sports bar, and they usually have a bunch of TVs on, so we just went to go get a drink and just kind of sit and BS for a minute, and Ring of Honor was on. And there's my girl, Kelly Quinn McKay, introducing the match. And in the match is Tyler Bateman. And I'm like, oh, my God. So there's Kelly, who took our first bumps, that trained with us in mid-stage wrestling, hosting Ring of Honor, and a kid that had one of his first matches in mid-stage wrestling in the main event on Ring of Honor. That was pretty cool. Yeah. So there's a lot of those guys that I've had the privilege of working with or – being in locker rooms with, that I wish them nothing but the best, but I just don't watch a lot of it. If I do watch anything, it's to go back and I watch old footage and study. I mean, I watch a lot of Mid-South, not just for the matches, but for the interview stuff with Boyd Pierce and Bill Watts, because that's the kind of product I like to put out and to kind of emulate and kind of hone some of those announcer skills, just keeping it like that. I like to go back and watch Lance Russell on the old Memphis. He was just not just a wrestling host, but man, he was just like Uncle Lance there. Everybody knew him. Everybody loved him. And he was just so well known in that area. You know, they did like moon landing records every Saturday, you know, on their TV. So that's where I spend most of my time. I will watch the pay-per-views here and there. I started watching the NXT, the one that they did not too long ago.
The Takeover?
Yeah, I watched like the first couple matches. Ember Moon was there and Shotzi. And I've worked with Shotzi Blackheart before, like in KC. Super nice. She's super talented. So there's a lot of cool people. I know Cameron Brene that Niles helped train that kicked my butt in Viral Pro. She just got signed this last week. She's down in NXT in Florida. So it's so cool to watch people that you're around and that are putting their time in and paying their dues and it finally getting to pay off for them. So that's really cool. So I will, you know, when my friends are on TV, I'm going to stop and watch and pay a little bit more attention. But as far as watching it every Monday night or Friday night or Wednesday night, I do not.
Sorry. You mean to tell me that you're not checking your email Monday afternoon looking for that invitation to the Thunderdome, or Friday morning looking for that invitation? Is that what you're saying, Jason?
I have never submitted my name to the Thunderdome. I see people post about it all the time, like, check this out. They post their little ticket, like, I've been accepted to the Thunderdome.
Yeah, I probably have no-showed the Thunderdome more than I've watched it. You know, it's like I get the damn invitation, I click
Stephen
on it,
E is the George Jones of the Thunderdome.
And I no-show. You know, I'll no-show. So, yeah.
No-show. Yeah. I like it.
Yeah. Well, you know, for those of you who haven't, there's certain things that I just can't get past. I can't get past, you've got somebody in your computer, you know, or your iPad. I watch it on my iPad Pro 12.9, you know, all that good stuff. But I watch it on that, and there's a guy that's actually pumping, you know, he's like, okay, guys, you know, here comes, you know, Bobby Lashley, you know, let him know how you feel about him, you know, and they're really pushing, you know, if you're enthusiastic, you'll get on TV. And I hate that you've got somebody telling you what to do. When it should be a more of an organic, like, if I want to boo this person, I'll boo this person. You know, it's like, I don't want to be told I can boo this person.
They got a TV show to produce, though, so I understand.
But
it's like confiscating signs, you know. They don't want something that doesn't fit in their demographic to be in the front row, center.
Yeah, you know, it's funny, Space, you remember back in June of 99, I went back and was watching some old Raws, and That was the time. I don't remember. Even Chapman asked me, "Where'd you guys get these tickets?" I said, I don't really remember, but I know Space got them, and he didn't. He wasn't able to go. It was that Raw that we went to that you weren't able to go. And you know, we're just there's seven or eight of us that went, and you know, we're holding up our signs and whatnot. But I had a sign that you could see, and we had to actually pause it and look. You know, it what did it say?
It said, "Why, Brock? Why?"
No. That was a different one. It said Vince and Shane F**king suck. You know, and for what, you know, maybe it was because it was an attitude era. I didn't get it taken away from me. You know, I had it the whole time. Yeah, but where I took my girl to St. Louis to a pay-per-view, 5 years ago or so. And you know, she just had a little John Cena sign that she made, and we didn't even make it in with it. I was like, wow, okay. But times have changed, I guess.
I know that, like, back in the day, back in, like, the heyday of Nitro and Raw, at the beginning when they were the underdogs, they didn't check your signs.
Yeah.
And WCW would go through every one of them. Mm-hmm. So I learned the next time, and we came back, and they were doing their first – it was, like, the second Thunder, and it was out of Memphis. Mm-hmm. And that's before Thunder sucked, and they were, you know. But anyway, so what we did – is I took the big Sharpie. We made our regular random poster on the front, and we left the backs blank.
Yeah.
So then we were in there, we went ahead and changed. So, yeah, but they used to be – they go through those things and select them, or they'll trade them out. If somebody's wearing the wrong T-shirt in the front, mm-hmm. they'll usually bring you something stupid to put on that'll have their logo on it or whatever. So, but I get it. It's their product. They don't want
to – Yeah, you don't want to – well, you know, I mean – you know, I know in the Thunderdome, there was a couple of early instances where, you know, like you maybe I think you had a Klansman. I think they had a Chris Benoit you know, it's like, yeah, so I get that. I get that. But, you know, at the same time, I want to have fun, man. And sure. maybe the live audience has changed to where you can't go and do that kind of stuff anymore. Because, you know, when we were running Renegade Shots back in, you know, 99, going up and watching, you know, St. Valentine's Day Massacre, and then Raw, and of course SmackDowns, and you know, Thunder, maybe not SmackDowns, but Thunder, you know, you just, I don't know, you know, it was different, you know. Now, well, I say now, but you know, nobody's holding signs up in the Thunderdome. You know, is it me, or do we realize just how important having a crowd is at this point? You know, we haven't had one for a year, you know, it's crazy.
Yeah, it's odd. It's definitely hard to get a read off a crowd. It's hard to go out there and play your character, but I think they've done from what I've saw, I mean, they're doing their best to turn, yeah, you know, lemons into lemonade, and they've still got, you know, everybody was down on them, like, what are you doing this crowd? I'm like, they still have contracts. They have to produce that content. So,
yeah.
I mean, more power to them, man. It employs a lot of people.
Right.
It is the staple, whether you like it or you don't. I mean, they're the number one. No one talks about minor league baseball. They talk about the major league baseball. Right.
Well,
and they do have a stranglehold as being the major league of professional wrestling.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well, you know, when you go and with AEW coming on strong, and they have been for a couple of months. You know, I think I watch more AEW than I watch WWE. Hopefully that will light a fire under whoever it needs to light a fire under, and they can start booking some good stuff, because,
or just make Vince start offering contracts for people to sit at home, because I know about that too.
So, yeah.
Well, Space, you mentioned a major league, and earlier, I think it was yesterday, our very own Nathan Sumo Rogers created a video that had you with some major league superstars. That was an awesome video he made.
That was cool. Thank you very much, Sumo, for making that.
I got a little bit of trouble for using that song, but that's all right.
Did you really?
Yeah, it got muted. But, I mean, that video, though, got me really thinking. Out of all those superstars, legends, all these guys you got a chance to hang out with, What was the one legend that you just marked out? Like, oh my God, I can't believe I'm actually getting to meet this guy. Who was your ultimate mark out moment with all those legends? God, there's so many of them on there.
Man, you know, honestly, I hate to say it because it's probably everybody else's. It's probably Flair. You know, because Flair gets kind of a bad rap, but he was there. We were at the Iowa Energy game, and it was Ric Flair night. And he ended up announcing the the starting lineup for the Iowa Energy, came out and do his little I'm a limousine riding jet flying. He did a meet and greet with 100 people that they were selling. I think it was 250 people. Well, there were three matches. There was two before the game started, right before the game started, and then there was one during intermission. Now, Niles Planque was on the one at intermission, and I was on the one right before the game started. So he was still signing his autographs, but in the stadium, I mean, it was like in front of 8,000 people or something. It was huge crowd. They had closed circuit TV, so you could see what was going on out front, you know, the cheerleaders doing their thing, and he was in there. And so we had a dressing room to get dressed in. And he had a dressing room that was down the hall, but he had like three security guards. You had to get past point A, point B, point C. And I'm like, all right. So it's obvious Flair's not going to come in and do this because he's getting ready to do his thing at halftime and walk out. So I just literally, I grabbed the boots in my hand for some odd reason. And I was like, this will get me back there. And I was like, hey, I'm supposed to bring these to Ric Flair. And the guy was like, what? I'm like, these boots. And he's like, oh, well, I guess go ahead then. You know, because I didn't act like I didn't belong. I'd already finished my match, taken a shower, all that good stuff. And they're a beautiful facility. So I walk past and I get to the next door and I'm like, yes, sir. I was told to bring these boots to Ric Flair. And he's like, hold on. He's like, Rick, something about these boots. And Rick goes, and he kind of looks and he squints to see if he knows me. And he goes, did you wrestle earlier? And I said, yes, sir, I did. And he said, okay, your match was on when I saw it. Come on in. And of course, they had a spread out for him, you know, like, you know, food and everything and nice leather couches. And he was just sitting in there just kind of playing on his phone. So he invited me in, myself, and then Gary Graham was right behind. So we walked in and we started talking about Sonny Myers and being around that Kansas City area and asked him to sign my boots. And he said, you sure? Like, you want me to sign these boots? They were my favorite red and white wingtips. And I was like, absolutely. So I'd probably say Ric Flair, and he was really nice, and he wasn't put out by me, and that was really cool, you know. So probably Flair is probably the biggest name, probably the guy that I've watched more matches of anything in my career.
We'll get into it a little later on, but this whole JJ BSing his way to get past security and stuff. We've got a ton of stories. Like this guy's a pro.
Hey.
If you act like you belong,
that's right.
Act like you belong.
Yep.
They'll never ask you to leave.
Hey. So what you're saying is you want me to get up and you want me to walk all the way around the arena to get
No, Kansas City football.
Oh no.
No.
Well, this guy told me that I could come through. So I just got to drop this guy off. He just had surgery. Hey.
You need to kayfabe that Hall of Fame story, okay? I'll own up to the Chiefs one, but listen, don't throw me under the bus like that.
You met a lot of people, made a lot of appearances. You ever had any opportunities that you passed up on that you look back and think, I should have done that?
As far as meeting someone?
Not necessarily meeting, but maybe a booking that you turned down or an opportunity.
Yeah, there are some that I was invited at, like when TCW started up. You know, I had a big role for TCW for many years, and we were on a lot of, I mean, millions and millions of homes worldwide, not just nationwide, but worldwide. I was there during, you know, a couple of years there at the end where I was doing all the interviews and the crowd hype and all that stuff. And it was perfect for me because that's what I really wanted to hone that skill. That's what I really wanted to be known as. And whereas there might be a locker room full of 30 guys, you may have one match that may air just once a month. You may not have a match on there every week. But I was literally on there three times an episode by doing those interviews and stuff. So I was getting a lot of face time and I was starting to get noticed in places that I wouldn't have been noticed. I'd be in the middle of Mississippi going into a gas station, like, you're Jason Jones from TCW. And I'm like, yeah, I am. That was cool. You know, it's one thing to get noticed around your area, but to be out of your area and for someone to notice you from television, that's pretty cool. I wish I was scheduled to actually show up in TCW about 8 months before. And I had taken a booking that I had committed to. And I hate to say that, but I wish I would have went to TCW earlier because I would have had an opportunity to work with more people earlier, because the next time they were able to get me back in, it was just like, oh, is he blowing us off to go do some stupid indie show in front of, you know, a couple hundred people? And so there was a booking committee, so I had to get back in the good graces. And that when I showed up, I knocked it out of the park. I just wish I would have showed up and knocked it out of the park earlier than that, because ever since then, anything that the TCW production people have went to put on, whether it be the Mid-South Legends reunion, whether it be a transition in the CWA, I've been there and I've been the first guy they called. I just wish I'd went a little bit earlier, right at the beginning, like some of my other cohorts, like Michael Berry and Gary Graham and even Dustin Heritage.
I want to toot Jason's horn here. We went for a TCW taping, and I think it was Nashville we ended up going to. And on the way back home, we stopped somewhere in Southwest Arkansas to an independent show. And it was rough. But anyway, we get in there. We get in there, you know, we buy our tickets. We sit in the bleachers, just kind of hanging out, watching. And I guess it was the booker, the promoter, somebody recognized JJ and came over, I think shook your hand and talked to you for a minute or whatever. He goes back and he's sitting, and he's also the ring announcer. So as these guys are having a match, I'll never forget, their tag team champions was STDs. So they come out and they're doing this wrestling match, and this guy's on the mic, like calling it right in the ring. And every time he would say something like, oh, look at that arm drag, he'd look over at Jay and just kind of like, you know, like, I am.
Oh, he wanted my nod of approval. Like, yeah, hey, man, you're doing a great job. Yeah.
The whole show, JJ was hard camera. They had this kid come out and cut like a pipe bomb promo where he drops down Indian style in the ring.
Oh, shit.
And every time they were talking, it was always facing JJ.
Was it about 2010?
No, when? What? Well, no, probably 12.
I don't know. 12,
somewhere around there, but yeah.
Yeah, even worse. It was 2 years after Punk did it.
Yeah. It was bad, though, but it was just hilarious. That dude, I'll just never, ever forget the guy, the look on that guy's face when he's like, check out that arm drag, and turns over and is like, man.
And then, like, a couple of the guys made it a point. Like, we sat out of the way so no one would really see us. And, like, he, like, went to the back and told him we were there from TCW. I guess he thought we were scouting talent or something. And they were all like just beelined out of the locker room and lined up to shake my hands and enter. I'm like, I'm here eating nachos, watching the people watch this, you know? So I'm like, hey, man, I'll work it. I'll be like, yeah, man, hey, you're doing a great job out there. Keep doing it. Keep hustling, guys.
Good job, kid.
We're watching you.
Yeah, good job, kid.
Good job, kid.
The STDs.
STDs. I had no, I don't even remember the tag team name.
Oh, man.
I don't know what it stood for, but I remember they came out of that curtain and they were just announced, you're whatever tag team champion, the STDs.
Okay.
Oh, my.
Good story. Yeah.
Well, Jason, you know, you mentioned, you know, you've been in wrestling now 24 years. You know, you've had probably thousands of matches, I would assume. And out of all these matches you've been in, what was your proudest moment ever in a match? And what was your most embarrassing moment in a match?
Okay, most embarrassing. Let's do that first. It was right as I'm starting into the business. I'm glad you asked that because it's my dad still reminds me of it to this day. I think Steven was at a show. Honestly, we tried to promote a show with some other guys that we were kind of in the business. They were younger guys. And we ran an event in Salisaw, Oklahoma at our outdoor rodeo arena. And literally, we drew like 500-600 people.
Mm-hmm.
And there was going to be a six-man tag, I believe. I can't remember what it was, but it ended up myself, Kevin, and Chris, and against like Lucky John Boy and some others. But so we're going to put the guy through a table at the end of the match. Now, this ring, you know, there's what they call a stage ring in wrestling, and that's normally 3 foot off the ground. And then you have certain rings that you say they call a low boy ring, and that's usually when you have a smaller ceiling and smaller venues. This ring, I'm no exaggeration, was 4.5 feet off the ground. It was a stage of a stage ring. I swear to God, man, it's like when you were standing on the apron, you could just, I mean, it was literally like a huge drop. And I can remember they go to slam the dude through the table. It doesn't break, and I panic. So I'm like,
You're forgetting the fact that we threw a bunch of lighter fluid on the table and lit the damn thing.
No, different table.
Was it a different table?
This was earlier in the night. This is the first table spot. This, you got to keep in mind, it's like 99. So there's all kinds.
Yeah. So we had there was all kinds of stuff going on.
So we go and I panic. I'm like, I'm just a couple matches in and I panic because the crowd's starting to laugh and boo. So I run up and I'm going to do a moonsault off this damn rope. So I climb the ropes and realize that as I get there, I've climbed the ropes backwards and I'm either got a backflip. And as I go to turn around, you can't turn around on ropes, but I panicked. You know, you want to climb them from the outside or push yourself up where you're facing the inside of the ring. Well, I get climbed to the top rope, like standing there, like, and then Kevin even said, he goes, oh my God, Jason's going to moonsault. Holy hell, you know. I get there and my knees just start. I look down and I'm 14 damn feet in the air. And as I try to turn around, I fall off the ropes. And it was so embarrassing. It was so damn embarrassing.
I thought you were going to plug the fact that, you know, that night, you remember about two matches in. The damn we were in a rodeo arena, okay? So there, you know, we're in a rodeo arena.
Oh yeah, the microphone going out. I don't even want to think about that. It's just one of those nightmares that keeps recurring.
And what did we do? Somebody ended up pulling up to, you know, like pulling their car up. They had a stereo system in it, and I think they used the stereo system for the ring music. You know, it's like improvising. You know,
that's happened more times in my career than I've ever wanted to admit. Yeah. Go to different places and they don't have a PA system. And I was joking. We went to one and did one in Nashville, Arkansas, like Miranda and Craig and I. And they were like, "Hey, you don't have an extra PA system on you?" And I'm like, "Well, let me check in my car." No, I could
for an extra $400.
Yeah, but. I remember I was like, well, hell, you can always just pull a truck in here and I'll be damned in here. The next 2 minutes, they don't pull a truck in this damn arena and they've just got the windows open and some old boy in there with a CD player. I'm like, hey, worse has happened, man.
Yeah. That was a good show. That was one of the ones that I kind of cut my teeth in and,
sure.
You know, riding around with Jason and Kevin and Chris in those early days, you know, had a a good, they left a good impression on this virgin wrestling mind of mine.
Well, that was my most embarrassing. I'd say probably my most proud moment. And you were actually involved in this one, Steven. It was at a time in my career where something had to change. And I think it was 2006. I had a barbed wire match. It was a feud with Kevin that went on for about 3 years. And we finally said, okay, this comes to an end. We did a barbed wire match and we wrapped the ropes in barbed wire. We did the match and we set it up to do, basically, I was just tired of being just your standard baby face. And I wanted to prove that I was tough. And Kevin, we wanted to turn him into a baby face. And we were just kind of there. I'm like, we can do it after this. But the fans loved the match so much because we literally went out and we trusted each other and we literally beat the piss out of each other. We're bleeding hard way. We've thrown each other into the barbed wire. There's everything else. Steven goes to get involved and ends up, you know, I end up going over in the match with a powerbomb through a table and there's barbed wire. We're both bleeding. We're both cut up. Standing ovation from the crowd. Locker room empties, standing ovation from the locker room. And at that instant, he's laying there still selling and the crowd's clapping. And I just reach down and extend my hand. He gets up, shakes my hand. We hug. And at that minute, we were instantly, it rejuvenated our careers because we had been on this feud thing for the longest time. And we had built that match up for a year. And to see everything come together and it turned him babyface successfully. And it just showed people I just wasn't the standard babyface wrestler. I could go out there and be tough as nails and bleed and everything else. And it was just a really good payoff. It was just a really good payoff, not financially payoff, but rewarding as far as that's probably one of my favorite moments was standing in that ring. We're both pouring blood. There's debris of broken tables and barbed wire all the way around us. And to have the admiration of a sellout crowd standing up and applauding and then the locker room coming out and at the curtain and applause, it was something that was really, really cool. Really cool.
Yeah. If I'm not mistaken, I think that we had barbed wire, we had tables, and we had ladders. We had a little bit of everything in that that match. You know,
yeah, it was a really good match.
Did we build that as a street fight?
No, it was a barbed wire match.
That's right.
I've got the DVD somewhere.
I've got the flyer somewhere actually.
Me and JJ actually watched that DVD back in we first became friends back in like 2009 or later.
They filmed me. They did a documentary that whole day and they filmed us and followed us around. And then after I had a concussion during the match, so I was a little loopy. And so they're following me and it's in the locker room and my hand sliced open for the barbed wire and the paramedics are in there cleaning it all out and stuff. And I'm just, you can tell I'm not firing on all cylinders, but we're just so punch drunk and glad it's over. But it was really cool. It was called like, I remembered. I'll try to post the thing for it, but I've still got a couple copies. I thought about just remaking him for grins and giggles. I know I had like 3 copies and I sent Kevin's family one so he would have, so his daughter would have it. But it's got a lot of behind the scenes footage. And one shot is just Kevin turning up a bottle of Jack Daniels right before the match. And he hit me harder than I've ever been hit before. So yeah, it was a good rewarding moment. So that's probably one of the most proud I've ever been.
All right, man, let's talk about Mid-States Wrestling. COVID has not been kind to the wrestling community. Any updates on MSW?
Actually, yeah, and that's what I was writing down earlier. Here's what we've got, guys, and this is actually – I saved this announcement for you guys exclusively because the slot drop is always so good to us.
I don't even know about it yet.
You guys are great. We are in the process of opening a gym in Springfield, Missouri. It'll be on Commercial Street and we'll be in with 417 Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu in there. And it should be, we had a little bit of a snafu. They're having to tear a wall down, to accommodate the ring, but we should be in there before April 1st up and going for classes. They'll have all my information posted. If you guys are interested, you're in the Springfield area and you want to train, be training, at least once a night or excuse me, once a week. in that gym in the evening. Plus, we'll also have special seminars from guys that are making trips down from Kansas City. Niles Planque will be one of the trainers, myself, Flex, Zerba. We've already had agreements for different people to come in and guest train. Colton Vaught, which is Harley Race's WLW champion, will be stepping in and doing some training there. Also, Moonshine Mantell and a few others. Sorry about my light there. So that'll be happening at the end of March. We will have updates posted. We've just been waiting for an official date. So if you're interested in doing that. Also, too, the announcement we made about returning to Springfield, Missouri, Saturday, June the 12th, at the Relics Event Center. We've had to postpone the date. We had an original date booked for March of 2020. You know, that seems like forever ago, but it's a year ago. We had to postpone the event. We postponed it till June. Of course, COVID, it really kicked us in the nuts. So now it's back on the calendar. And Springfield City Ordinance, you know, we don't have to say anything to Steven. He knows how that stuff works. But as of right now, like Relics allows us to seat like 515 people. The city of Springfield was only going to permit us for like 110, 115 people. But that would include all the staff and everything. So it was just not going to be fiscally able to do it. Plus, that would be everybody with their mask and all the regulations in play. So we're still Saturday, June the 12th. We're hoping the regulations will be lifted quite a bit in Springfield. The state of Missouri is good to go on that. We sent our permit off and we're waiting to finalize everything for that and to set tickets on sale. Now, here's the one that happened this weekend that we can confirm right now that I saved for you guys. And I say everything now will have an asterisk by it, and it will be COVID pending. The governor of Arkansas, as of the last day in March, will be lifting the mask mandate as long as everything stays shipshape the way it has been and the numbers continue to decrease. And that includes restaurants and public gatherings. So we went ahead and booked a tentative date. Saturday, April the 10th, we'll return to the fairgrounds here in Harrison, Arkansas. We're going to put the tickets on sale. Let's see. You guys will be watching this on the weekend. They'll be on sale this coming Monday starting at noon on our website, mswtickets.com. And a couple days after that, they'll be available at your regular cash saver, 870, formerly Edwards Grocery in Harrison, Arkansas.
Now, Space, I got to stop you right there because my inbox has been going crazy. Everybody's been asking me, am I ever going to make 72 font on the flyers? I used to be 72 font. Now I'm many, 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 many more.
Well, every time you know show me, it goes down 12 points.
I know you're not allergic to money, Jason. So 72.
The slot drop has revived Stephen E. He's got the itch. He's ready.
Does he?
Ready to come back.
I'm ready to come back, you know.
Let me sketch something out real quick, and let me see if this font will work for you, okay?
Let's see it.
Does that look good? Can you guys get a hold of that?
So you're not changing anything.
Let me tell you something. I used to give JJ crap all the time about these posters, right? Because there was this guy that some people know, he's not a big deal. His name was Joe Jones, right? Used to be a referee.
No relation.
Yep. So let me tell you something about this. Back when me and Jay lived in Harrison together, you know, lived in Harrison and hung out all the time and kind of went over the cards and stuff. And, you know, used to help actually set everything up at the shows and, you know, back before I got married and all that crap. And I used to give him so much crap. I was like, man, how am I refereeing all 9 shows, right? For the last 6 months, we couldn't get another referee in here and I'm working my butt off. And Joe Jones still makes the damn flyer.
That's because he's Joe Jones. That's the senior official. You know, nobody.
He was bribing me with brisket, man.
Hey.
They've got one of the best smoked meats restaurants there. Big Spring. Is it Big Springs?
Yeah.
Big Springs here in St. Joe, Arkansas. Shout out to them, man. They got some great food. So, make me do some stupid stuff and keep some people on the poster. But, Steven, your name gets left off and goes down in size 12 points every no-show that you give me.
Oh, gosh. Now, Jason, let's be honest. Maybe 2 over 20 years? 3, maybe? That's pretty good. Maybe 10. Hey, it's hard being lazy and being, you know, being on the road and stuff like that.
It's hard not being able to take that 3 p.m. nap that you take every day.
Hey, Jason. Yes, that is a fact, Jack.
Or as your people call it, siesta.
That's siesta time.
Well, hey, JJ, this is awesome. Mid-States is coming back, and appreciate you sharing that right here exclusively on the Slop Drop Huge News. But speaking of Mid-States, you know, the last event that we attended, Matt Riviera came out as the Mid-States Wrestling Heavyweight Championship. Since then, he's announced his retirement. So what are we looking at? Are we looking at WrestleMania 4 all over again, Mid-States Wrestling, to crown a new champion?
I know that as soon as the event is approved from the health, the Board of Health in Arkansas, and everything's good to go, there'll be announcements as far as the champions go, because most of those championships have been not defended in well over 12 months. And I hate to say that I'm the only exception, because the Southern Heavyweight title travels, and during COVID, I've had more title defenses than when I did before COVID, I think. So the Southern Tag Team belts will be up for question. Even my belt, the Southern Heavyweight Championship, and of course the Mid-States Wrestling Heavyweight Championship. So I don't know if they're looking at three different events, three tournaments, if there's a battle royal for one. I don't know. I'm just promoting whatever the booking committee decides.
Hey, I got a good idea. Why don't you just put the belt on me?
How about you give me the belt?
How about you just put
Bob
me.
Holly.
Everybody.
Bob Holly over here.
Exactly. I was hoping somebody got the reference.
That'll work for me, brother.
Well, man, the wrestling community, especially the fans we've talked before, can be the most toxic people. And we always hear, you know, this guy's got heat or that guy's got heat. Who's right. The one guy, excluding Stephen E., that you could call tonight that you could depend on that would be right there for you at snap of a finger?
Oh.
We're gonna spin this into a positive.
Like thing. in the business, though, correct?
In the business. Because you always hear, oh, so-and-so's a scumbag. I want to hear who's the good person, who's the good guy, the friend, the dude you trust.
I'd have to say Craig Kiesman, Niles Planque. He's, you know, I was a groomsman in his wedding years ago. When my daughter was born, my first child, he's the first guy that I called, because I couldn't get a hold of Steven, of course. But
a lot of people can't get a hold of me.
we've been, even when he was not doing the wrestling thing and he was on the winery, we've always just been able to pick right up where we left back off. And recently, even during COVID, we've been able to spend more time together than we have probably in the last 10 years together over the last year. And we've went to new places. I've got him booked at places. He's got me booked at places. And he's a good friend. He'd be a good friend. If I left the business today, and I can still safely say I would talk to Chapman, and I would talk to Steven, and I would talk to Kiesman. And I can say that about a handful of other guys, but there's others that I could just leave that with the business. I'd like to say I have some interesting stories to share with people and would always want to stay in touch with certain ones, but there's some that you just don't. They're just that. They're work proximity people, and that's it. But there's always a certain level of trust that goes with wrestling that doesn't go with other businesses. You can work at the Dollar General and don't care about the lady that you work with that has to stock housewares. In pro wrestling, you're giving each other your trust out there in the ring, and you're giving each other your body. And at any given time, you're that far away from paralysis. And I've never went out there with the exception of punching Steven in the jaw because he didn't have a well-manicured beard. Never went out there and intentionally hurt anybody. Especially when that person has the family they have to go back to and provide for and work their shoot job on a Monday. So,
with a concussion.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I did give you a concussion because you bitched out.
He didn't
know how to take a DDT, and he tried to bitch out and go to his knees, and I said, not today, Chapman.
No.
So I rode you down like a $2 whore on payday.
You did. And then I had to, then I remember I had to referee the next match. We had intermission. because I laid out there for half of intermission, and intermission, like, went to the back, intermission's over, I had another match, and it was with Cobra Kai, I think is who it was, and some female.
Johnny Lawrence?
Cobra Kai's been around for a while.
Yeah. And, before it was cool.
And some chick that he brought down. And, brother, I still don't remember that match. I don't remember anything about it.
Now, granted, here's what I did to make up for that. I said, hey, buddy, you all right? He said, yeah. And I was like, hey, man, here's some nachos from the concession stand.
Oh, man. You mean you paid him out nachos from the concession stand? I remember that night. I didn't get no nachos. What's the deal?
Let me
you
tell
probably
you something.
No showed me that night.
I remember that night.
Let me. You know what? This is a good time to bring up the best JJ story I probably have. And oh yeah, so we're going to Oklahoma, and I can't remember what part of Oklahoma, but we're going, and we stop in this little town, and I want to say it's Tawny Town. I think that's where we stopped, and we stopped.
Is this where I get pulled over by the cops?
Nope. But we go to McDonald's, right? We're gonna stop and grab.
Oh, this is where the kid screws me over at McDonald's.
We go to McDonald's, and JJ orders like the 50-piece chicken nugget or whatever it is, and the guy gives him like one barbecue sauce packet.
One sauce for like a 20-piece nugget.
No, yeah, whatever it was, and so JJ's unacceptable. Like, JJ's like, can I get another sauce? And this dude stands up like you just bitch slapped his wife. Just, well, excuse me, sir. Yes, you can. And like just throws these packets of barbecue sauce down. God, I wish I could remember. I want to say his name was like Richard or something, but I knew it for a long time.
And, I remember that. I
oh
remember
my God, that.
That was
hilarious. Dude, Jay, by the time we were done, Jay had everybody sitting in that McDonald's turned against this dude. Everybody's like, yeah, screw that guy, Oh, my God, it was great.
Oh, man. That's good
job. Let me ask you, Steven, because I think we'll both agree. If you're ever traveling with JJ, what is the one thing you want to make sure you bring?
I can tell you right now, before I even go on with anything, bring a blanket. Bring
That's
a sub-zero
right.
blanket. You have to bring a sub-zero blanket if you ride in the car with him, because you'll be going down the road and, like, not off or whatever, and coming back too, and like
got icicles,
you got icicles hanging off of your beard and whatnot. He does not, and he's got a good reason to why, because Jason usually is one driving, and you're driving and it's cold, it keeps you awake, and
I get sleepy, I get tired, it's 3 a.m. I want to take a nap,
mm-hmm.
Air conditioning helps keep me awake.
My dad learned
the hard way on our way to New Orleans for that Mid-South Legends deal, and he's like, son, you need to stop so I can get my coat out of the back. He's like,
we went somewhere in Oklahoma my first road trip, and Jay told me, he said, hey, man, do you want to come over? I'm doing a show. You can rent my merch, stuff like that. It'll be a good weekend. We'll have fun. We'll get a hotel room. I think we went and gambled, whatever. And I was like, yeah, man, that sounds great. Love to go. And so he's like, you're going to want to bring a coat. I'm like, brother, my house is like 65 year round. Yeah. I'm good. Dude, so we make it over there just fine. We're singing Conway Twitty. We're having a hell of a blast there. We get there, we're headed, and we may even went into Tulsa to stay at one of the casinos or whatever, but we leave the venue, everything's loaded up, and I'm tired, Jay's tired, we stop at freaking Waffle House to eat, because where else are we going to stop and eat at? We head out, and I fall asleep, and brother, I wake up, and I am just shivering, just cold, and I'm like, what are you doing, bro? And he's like, gotta stay awake, bro, gotta stay awake, gotta make it, if it's cold, can't sleep.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, that's me.
It works though, man. It works.
I tell you what, when we went down to work that mid-south tribute show, we went to the Hall of Fame that weekend, and we thought, maybe we'll stick around for Mania, maybe we won't. We ended up saying, let's go back to Missouri where we're gonna have better seats, whatever. So we get on the road. We're probably 2 hours, maybe 2 hours north. And all of a sudden, we just see this cop just zip past us, come up behind us. And we think he's pulling us over and slow down. And he just zips on past us. Well, about 3 or 4 miles down the road, man, oh, man, this poor guy got hit by a box truck. And, I mean, took him out of his shoes the whole 9 yards. But we were the first car to pull up to that on the scene. And
sat there like 3 or 4 hours.
Oh, it was 4 hours minimum. And you talk about, like, you know, I didn't necessarily have a blanket on me and you know, and all that good stuff. I just remember sitting there just being so uncomfortable and like, but not trying to be a wuss about it. You know, it's like, I'm not going to say nothing to him because, you know, we got everybody else in the car and, you know, I'm sitting there like chipping icicles off my beard.
The follow-up story to that is we're on our way back and we're in this car and we're here for 3 or 4 hours. And I think it was over by Macomb, Mississippi, if I'm not mistaken. And it was like 4 lanes of traffic. Well, this guy had tried to cross that busy intersection and, pardon the expression, a semi just smacked him. Well, all of a sudden, we're sitting there, and nothing happens for like 2.5 hours, and all of a sudden, we see this flashlight, and these cops, like, running beside our car, and they shine it over to the left of our car, and it was the dude's leg. It was, like, still in a boot, like, literally. My dad was like, oh, my God, it's his leg. Yeah, it, like, just dismembered the guy.
Well, and you know, you were talking about earlier about being away from your hometown and being recognized. We stopped to get McDonald's, and you know, we went inside and, you know, Jay got his 20 piece and probably, I don't remember him being upset. So he probably got at least three, you know,
at least three
dipping sauces. But we sit down and there's some old boy that, you know, sees Jason from the other side of the room and recognized him from TCW and come over. And, you know, I think, you know, we had exchanged phone numbers and, you know, he was a full fledged fan, you know, at that point, you know, it was awesome. Good times, but
good times, man.
Poor guy, you know, got wiped out. But I tell you what, being on that took that trip, which would have been what, a 12-hour trip back to Branson or so. And that, you know, that turned it into a 16-hour road trip. And a 16-hour
I think we got home the next morning at like noon or something.
Yeah. Well, a 16-hour road trip in sub degree weather is not it was tough. It was tough.
But, we're gonna get McBee and Sumo on a road trip, and that way they can speak from experience.
I'm down for it. Okay. I'll bring the North Coast
coat. We got events coming up. Let's do this.
Yeah.
I will say that. You know, I came around in 2009, I think it was, when me and Jay were working together and started helping out and refereeing and stuff. And out of all the years of doing stuff, and I've, thanks to him, man, I've met, you know, some people that I watched on TV as a kid and they're legends and, you know, just got to do a lot of coolest things. But I will say without a doubt, the most fun I've ever had is road trips with JJ. Mm-hmm. Probably the best of my life, man. We've had good times, whether it was South Arkansas to Silent Springs, where they conned the ring announcer into saying I was sponsored by the Latin Vibe. We went to I've been all over Oklahoma with him, Missouri, Kansas, Tennessee, and I will say you know, some of those memories in that car ride with him, Gary, some of the guys, just memories I'll never forget. Without a doubt, the funnest time
cool deal, man. Of my life. Thank you, man. That means a lot.
That's 100% from the heart. That's 100% true.
So what you're saying is that's how shitty your life is.
Yeah. That's how bad it is.
That's how bad his life is. Face it. That, you know, being in the car with you is the highlight of
it. But you know what, though, man? From the second you get in the car, you know, there's no quiet time. We're talking about either the show, past shows, just stupid crap we've done over the years. And kind of like what we're doing now. We just – you know, it's just, there's a good chemistry there and it just runs with it. And just a lot of good times, a lot of good times.
You know, for me, you know, the road trips, the older that I got and, you know, the no showing and stuff, I'm just joking, but you know, the older that I got, you know, when I started to wind down, early on is when I did a lot of road trips with Jason Jones. You know, we would head up Kansas and, you know, Kansas City, Kansas, you know, of course, Arkansas, Missouri. We did a double shot up in, I don't know where it was, Lawrence, Kansas or whatever, up there for Chad Sullivan. And that was it, man. I just, anytime anybody out there gets an opportunity to sit in a car with space, they should. Not only, you know, if you can get past the freezing and stuff, but the guy knows what he's talking about. You know, just to sit back and listen to the stories is, you know, when you got these young kids coming up and you know, you go into a locker room where you have a name and you just got all these kids sitting around this person who's storytelling, you know, Jason, if it were all to end today, man, you go down to history as the best storyteller of him, you know, Mid-States Wrestling.
Thanks, man. I appreciate that.
You know, and that's you know, you've got an ability to do what you do, and by God, it's a good time. Anytime anybody,
I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
With you. Yeah. Look at him; he's turning redder than us. You know, well, getting embarrassed.
JJ, you know, Stephen mentioned about a lot of the young and up and comers. And, you know, a lot we've seen, we've got a chance to go over and visit your gym and see you working right. And helping to train. Why don't you tell us a little bit about your training program and everything you set up through Mid-States Wrestling?
Sure, man. We've got, and you guys have got to come back since we've done the complete remodel of the gym. It's almost like a museum now. We have two nice pro rings in there. We've got crash pads, we've got tackle dummies, we got spar dummies, plus the wall's like a museum. It's decked out of pictures of me and my career with guys that I've worked with and signed autographs. I mean, we've got a Lawler singlet on the wall, Mid-South Coliseum signed chair. I got a cowboy hat signed by Cowboy Bill Watts. I mean, how cool is that? You know, but there's a lot of cool memorabilia to take in, and a lot of guys that come back that have wrestled for me for the years. I have an event poster almost from every Mid-States Wrestling event, and it goes from floor to ceiling and a 20-foot tall ceiling at least, and you can look back and see some of the events. It's really, really cool. A lot of the guys that have dropped by, like Craig Kiesman, Niles Plong, I mean, Gary Graham, they'll drop in and like, hey, I was on this poster, and I'll give them a Sharpie, and they'll sign it. So it's just cool. It's so neat. We do a really good training program here. We train on Tuesday evenings, and we also do private lessons as well. You can sign up on our website. It's mswtickets.com. Or if you guys don't care to put that little phone number gimmick down here, it's what the hell's my phone number? 858-84. Well, shoot. I'll get it to you. But anyway, we got a toll-free number that folks can call and sign up.
I'll put it in here.
I think it's 858-848-SLAM. I may have the prefix and the area code upside down, but it's a toll-free number. And they can sign up. Their first lesson to work out. Guys, we're not like most wrestling schools that require $3,000 up front. We do our first training lesson for $50. And if you decide that you want to go forward, we take that $50 and apply it to your total on your training. Offer guys an opportunity to pay monthly, and that's a lot of wrestling schools do not offer that. I'd like to say I have a really good attention for detail. I think that's been stated. We have guys that come in that help me with class, like Gary Graham will come in and just randomly help with class, and Niles Plonk will be down to help out. Michael Berry stopped by, Dustin Heritage.
Ace Steele stop by before. Right?
Oh man, Ace. Yeah. I mean, we can't even say his name anymore because Vince owns it. No, I'm just messing with him. Ace is my buddy. Ace has been down there just randomly come down and teach class just out of the blue. You know, it's so we really try. And if there's opportunities that I get, you know, I'll bring high flyers in so they can show him this. But we got two rings. So there's times like if I have someone that's new or beginning, I can work with them on this and this ring. And then we've got, you know, Gary working out with the guys in this ring on this and this and this. So we really tailor the class to the person. Professional wrestling has changed, but we still believe in that old school way of training. We don't just teach you high spots. We don't just teach you backflips. And we try to train everybody, but not just professional wrestling. Train referees, announcers, a little bit of everything. Managers, maybe you're older, maybe you don't want to try falling on your back for a living, but you think you might be a pretty good manager. Well, give us a call and maybe we can work with you. And, you know, guys contact me. It's the same guys that contact me all the time and they want to train. Well, I'm going to try that one day. And before you know it, guess what? They're 45, 50 years old and their window is closed and you're not going to be able to do that physically. So I say, here's the deal. I'm not a drill instructor. I don't cuss, yell, and scream when I train. You know, I don't make you run wind sprints for an hour and then do 1,000 Hindu squats and then try to make you puke and run you off so you don't come back. That doesn't benefit anybody. So you do your cardio, your weightlifting, whatever. Do that on your own time. When you got me there and you got my full attention or your guest trainer, you got rings. I used to drive four and a half hours, you know, every weekend just to get there to set up a ring and try to get 30 minutes to bump in. And guys, people today act like, oh, my God, you're an hour from Springfield. Oh, God, I don't want to drive that. I'm like, well, you obviously don't want it.
Well, and everybody's heard the stories over the years from books where, you know, people had to sleep in cars and drive 12 hours each way just to be able to go bump around in a ring for a few hours, you know, uh-huh. And we're talking an hour from Springfield.
Yeah, exactly. I'm 30 far. Minutes. And what I tell people is I'm very centrally located. I can be in Branson, Missouri in 25 minutes from my gym. I can be in Fayetteville in an hour and 10 minutes. Springdale the same, about an hour and 10. I can be at Stephen E's Pawn Shop leaving my gym for 1 hour, and that's in Springfield, Missouri. Little Rock is just a couple hours couple away, hours, two and yeah. a half hours away. So
cool thing
it's
is,
not,
you're about to have a second gym in Springfield.
Exactly. And so, I mean, but the thing that's great is if you're getting in as opposed to before you had to drive down once a week, you've got 2 days now that you can train. So you're actually – you're able to, instead of training X amount of time and you're making 2-3 workouts a week, guess what? You're going to be able to get in there faster. So it's an accessibility thing. Rent is not cheap in Springfield by any means.
No.
Steven could probably testify to that.
I can testify to that.
And so we've made it very accessible for everybody. So all you got to do is just stop procrastinating and give us a call. I mean, I think the proof's in the pudding. You can see the people that we're trained. You can see the product that we're putting out. You know, I took my students, we went to Mississippi. We stole the show with an opening match, and that's what they wanted. They wanted a great opener. They came to the back, and everybody complimented us. The next night, we went to USA Championship Wrestling. Over 1,000 people in the Omen Arena, and they had a guy not make it. And the first person they went to was me, and they said, which one of your students? Let's go. Let's get the student. Let's go. Did an opening match and was more seasoned than the guy that was in the ring with, you know? So
you want to tell us who that student was?
I can't tell you, man. It was Alan Jefferson. He was able to walk in
there.
Aerial
American Alan Jefferson.
Yeah. But he had a few going with Matt Riviera. So I guess, I don't know if Riviera was scared of him and just retired. I'm not sure how that was going. But who knows, man?
All right, man. I have a list of crazy, random, some wrestling, some non-wrestling questions.
Okay.
We can make this quick fire, rapid fire, whatever you can call it. There's really not a timer, but it's something to have fun with. You ready?
Yeah, let's do it.
Texting or talking?
Texting.
Gatorade or Powerade?
Gatorade.
Red Bull or Monster?
Red Bull.
Favorite looking world title of any major promotion, past or present?
It has to be world. It's NWA television title is my favorite belt. Probably the 10 pounds of gold, the original NWA. You're muted.
Their current one's pretty slick too.
Yeah, it's not bad. I couldn't hear you there for a minute. You got muted.
Worst gimmick.
Probably, is it Mantar? Maybe Mantar.
That's funny. That's funny that you say that, because as soon as you said that, that's who popped into my head. Yep. Was Mantar.
Yep, me too.
The T.L. Hopper guy comes to mind too, and these aren't saying anything about the guys that got cast for the characters.
The Dirty White
Boy.
There's
some talented workers, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Gobbledygooker.
Gobbledygooker's there, but man, I don't remember him working a match. But I did. You know, I do a battle royal every year, Thanksgiving weekend, over in Dyersburg, Tennessee, for Mid-South. And for the last 2 years that I've been in that battle royal, they've had a special appearance by the Gobbledygooker being in the battle royal. So I always like to get at least poke them in the eyes before the match is over. So.
Best gimmick.
Best gimmick ever? Oh, my God. I've never been asked that. For the right place, the right time, it may be The Rock. The Rock, when he did that whole anti, you know, it was good, man. It was good. Austin was a damn good gimmick. Probably Ric Flair, though. God, I'm going to go say Ric Flair on everything because he just made it so cool to be a bad guy.
Mine changes over the years. Best babyface. And I know you and I have done this before, but best babyface.
Ricky Steamboat.
Best heel.
Rick Rude.
That's a good one.
Good answer.
Favorite city to wrestle in other than the one you live in?
Probably Pittsburgh, Kansas is one of them. Yeah, probably Pittsburgh, Kansas is probably my second favorite place.
Let me tell you, when we would go and wrestle over in Pittsburgh, Kansas, we'd wrestle in the armory over there. And let me tell you, that place right there, I was pretty fortunate to be able to work with Bob Burke and Alicia Burke when we were over there. And, you know, it to me, if there was 150 people there, man, it was deafening.
They were loud. They're the loudest crowd.
They were so loud. You remember years ago the what was that group of fans that were in Pittsburgh that always the Rat Pack or Rat Finks or something, like I can't remember. Barry would be able to tell you, I'm sure. Barry probably remembers them, but good fans, very, 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 very loud arena. I would agree with you.
And I know the answer to this one, and I know their other response we'll get. Least favorite horseman.
God dang it.
Get ready.
It's a toss-up. Paul Roma.
Paul Roma could work.
And Mongo McMichael.
Oh.
You finally came around to Mongo?
Hey, well, you know what we say about Mongo around these parts? He's either the number five horseman or the number 15. He's either your fifth favorite horseman or your 15th favorite, you know?
And Paul Roma could work.
It didn't mean he needed to be a horseman, though. Just because you look good doesn't mean you need to be a horseman.
I'm not disagreeing with that. But, you know, when you put him with Paul Orndorff, you had Pretty Wonderful. That's a pretty damn good tag team. McBean, stop laughing.
Hey, you know what? You know what? Bad luck here. He's been trying to make the case of why the Nasty Boys weren't a part of the horsemen.
No. See, here's the thing.
They would go down as the greatest faction
ever. No. Nasty Boys didn't need the horsemen. Nasty Boys is going down as the number one tag team in all of professional wrestling. They didn't need the horsemen.
Oh, God.
Nasty Boys shirt.
Here's the deal. Somebody,
they're as nasty as they want to be.
Somebody on Instagram, or I can't remember if it was Facebook, they had a video of like Mongo bloopers, and they were so freaking bad, and they were just botches from Mongo.
Mongo's
ready to wrestle.
I posted that. Yeah. Mongo ready to wrestle. It was bad.
Let me tell you something, Tony Schiavone.
Stiffest chair shot you've ever took.
Oh, Jesus. Now, I've taken a few of them. I've had a few concussions. One Man Gang gave me my first in-ring concussion with a, you know, the little white, I call them the cheap wedding chair, folding chairs, mm-hmm. the plastic gimmicks. You know, the butt is only like this big on them. It's like the size of a notebook, and they're very, very small. Well, he's blind as a bat. He's like Stan Hansen. And he did a gimmick where he would come to the ring and start throwing chairs, and I'd duck him and dodge him all the time. Well, he's turning around Jack Jones to somebody, and I'm ring announcing. I'm like 18 years old. And all of a sudden, I turn around, and he's in the ring, and he's acting like he's going to, like, hit me with his chair, like he wants me to run. But at this time, all I did was just feet around, and I see it coming. And the side bar hits me right in the head. And I remember just falling like this and remember seeing the little twinkle, the little Tweety birds and the stars going. Mm-hmm. And I get to the, you know, I'm knocked cold. And I get to the back and he's so apologetic. He just finishes the match. He's like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean it. But he wrapped that thing around my damn head. Michael Berry throws a really really stiff chair shot. Pimp Tight threw a really hellacious chair shot.
Stephen E. throws a good chair shot. I actually took a chair shot from Pimp Tight years ago.
Let me guess, he laid it in a little extra for you, too.
Yep.
In the back. He had a way of doing that.
Weakest chair shot you ever took?
Yeah. I did a match last year in Springfield. I can't even remember. But anyway, it was the weakest chair shot.
He's not going to make it down there.
To the fact of I was so pissed off, I was, like, biting my tongue, and I was like, God dang it. And I saw it, and I was just like – It was so bad, and it took forever. I just kept
it was the nomad.
Feeding my back, and then I'm just like, it was just in slow motion, and it was just, dunk. And it was so anticlimactic, I just kind of no-sold it for a minute, and I was like, I don't even want to talk about it. I was pissed off.
I won the pot. I won it. I knew. I called that. I was like, it's going to be the nomad.
Now, Jay, do you remember we were down in Oklahoma? I can't remember what town it was, but they wrestled in a high school gym.
Spavinaw.
Spavinaw, that's where it was. And they were doing that, what was what was Mike Isles' gimmick over there? He had everybody.
EP.
EP. Whatever. Excellence personified. And I, whatever. Dude, you talk about a weak chair shot. I don't remember who took it, but they pushed, and I think it was Jack, pushed somebody up against the ropes. And here come Mike Isles with that chair to be a heel. And man, he got a good swing and then stopped about 2 inches before the guy's back. Oh. And dunk like that. And it was horrible.
Greatest TV dad.
What?
Greatest TV dad.
TV dad? Oh, Peter God. Griffin. Al Bundy.
Oh, good. Ball.
Yes.
I would have went with Andy Griffith, but Al Bundy's a good one.
Can I change my answer?
No.
Nope.
I love Andy.
Would you rather have a hardcore match with Abdullah the Butcher or New Jack?
Abdullah.
Yeah.
I can run away from Abdullah if I need to.
Good point. Who looks more like the leader of a nudist colony, Bruce Pritchard or Don Callis?
Don Callis. That's a good question, man.
Would you rather be able to speak every language in the world or be able to talk to animals?
I'd rather be able to talk to animals. Because I want to figure out, like, you know, I have a bulldog and he's on all my stuff. And that's like a conversation when I go places. People want to know how Tech's doing and everything else. And he's got like a fan base. He needs his own Instagram account. But I'm talking to Nikki the other day, and she was like, what do you think Tech sounds like? And I'm like, he sounds like Eeyore. And she's like, no, but he's English. So he has to be like, hey, brother, what's going on? And I'm like, so I never thought about it, you know, because he's an English bulldog. So I'm like, I guess that makes sense. He would have an English accent, but he's slow, lethargic, and fat and lazy. So, you know, it's like Eeyore.
I've got a great tech story. Let me tell you, you know, so me and Jim Fallon, I can't remember who Jim was working. I don't think it matters. Anyways, but the finish was supposed to be, Jim was supposed to come out with Tech and Tech was supposed to run me off a la Boss Man or whatever.
It's like the Bulldog. It was the 80s night.
Yeah,
and he came out to the bulldog music. Yeah, I get
so,
it.
But we, so here comes Fallon, ready for the spot, and I go, holy shit! I could have sat down and pet him, and we're trying to sell that, you know, I'm getting ran off. And
he did it in the back. He did it in the back. Just fine.
Yeah, he did it in the back fine. But you know, when it was time,
but when he came through that crowd, the crowd went nuts. But I don't know if it was the crowd noise. It wasn't so much the music. But the lights and the crowd noise, he just kind of went into overdrive, and he was like,
"Yeah." It was good.
I say we blame Fallon for that.
We'll blame Jim for that one.
I blame Fallon for most of the stuff that happened.
Well, let me tell you something. I blame Fallon. You see that? I assume you're at the. Are you at the gym or are you at home, Jay?
I'm at home.
Okay, so down at the gym, the background's black like that. Right, I know because I painted that whole damn thing.
it needs a second coat, but we're doing it right before
we're running a gym show on the weekend. Right, and I'm out there to 3 o'clock in the morning painting, get everything done. And the biggest thing was nobody, you know, don't break the walls. And what does Jim Fallon do? The first five freaking minutes of it, goes and puts his hand through the damn wall that I just painted, just ruined the whole
thing.
There's
still a hole like this big with his fist mark in it.
Joke's on him. Gary broke his nose that night.
It did. We also busted a kid's tooth that night, too.
Oh, is that?
Come on out. It's a good family show, folks. It's a good family show.
Yeah, like with a steel chair.
Which TV character wins the Royal Rumble consisting of cast from The Office, Friends, Seinfeld, and Parks and Rec?
Ron Swanson goes over. Ron Swanson goes over. It comes down to Stanley from The Office and Ron Swanson. Ron Swanson, definitely.
Favorite movie genre?
Stupid comedies like Kevin Smith movies, Mallrats, Clerks. But I also love documentaries. I'm a big nerd. I love documentaries and stuff.
Fill in the blank. Hulk Hogan is...
my future father-in-law. one of the greatest of all time, my childhood hero. God, there's so many things. But it probably doesn't work for him, brother.
It don't work for him, brother. Invisibility or super strength, if you could choose?
Oh, God, that's cool. I'm already superhuman strength-wise, so I guess invisibility.
Good answer.
Thank you.
If you had to do a week-long loop for various appearances, bookings, commitments, would you rather travel with Scott Steiner or Virgil?
Oh, my God.
1 week, you're stuck with them in the car. In the
motel. Where did you come up with that question? And can I use that for the rest of my life? Well, let's weigh the pros and cons. Scott Steiner, you're going to talk about math. You're going to get a discount at Shoney's. You're going to talk about some crazy shit. Virgil, you stop to get gas at a Love's truck stop, he's going to have a gimmick table set up.
But if you travel with Virgil, you'll be more over than he is.
Yeah,
people will recognize you before him.
If you travel with Virgil and you pull up to the gas station, you're not going in and just buying yourself a drink. You're going to have to get him an orange juice.
I'd have to say, hey, can Scott you give me Steiner. An orange juice?
You're going with Steiner. Okay. Follow-up question. While on this little trip, you need someone to watch your kids. Your choices are RVD or Marty Jannetty.
Oh, God. Oh.
Whew. Yeah.
It's probably, probably the safest bet.
I've hung out with Marty Jannetty. Marty Jannetty's a cool guy. I don't know if I want my children hanging out with Marty Jannetty. How about that?
Sonny or Missy?
Oh, can I?
Like Sonny back in the day?
In their primes. In their primes.
Genre of Missy Hyatt that I want. Like, oh, God, guys. I'm going to need time on this one. Sonny.
Yeah.
Sonny in like that heyday, like that LOD, that Road Warrior.
Oh, almighty. 96.
But I mean, I'm telling you, Missy Hyatt back in the day. Woo, Lord Jesus.
If you could travel back in time, what period would you go to?
What year was that Missy Hyatt thing we were just talking about? 86 and be around wrestling. I know a lot of people think that 83 was the height of a lot of stuff. For me, 86, when everything was cooking with the NWA and Starcades and the Great American Bashes and all that stuff, that right there to me was the best. They were NWA was my brand.
So it's safe to say, because I was going to chime in and ask you, Connecticut or South Carolina, Greenboro? You answered that.
I'll always be an NWA guy.
Yeah.
What famous
unless somebody wants to write me a check and then I'm a Hartford guy.
What famous venue would you want to wrestle in the most?
There's one venue that's eluded my career forever, and I know everybody's going to say Madison Square Garden. To me, it's the Mid-South Coliseum. And I'm a big fan. I got a logo right here. That's where I went and watched wrestling with my father. That's where I watched the greats. And I got a chance to mark off the Shrine Mosque on my list because I went to matches there as a kid and I got a chance to wrestle there with TCW. I went to a lot of matches in Barton Coliseum in Little Rock, but it never held the history that Mid-South Coliseum did. If the Sportatorium were still standing, that would be on the list as well. The Norfolk Scope is a really good one. The Omni in Atlanta. You can put Madison Square Garden on the list, but if I had to choose one, it would be the Mid-South Coliseum. And that will never happen, and that hurts. You know, that hurts that it's not a thing, you know.
Who would win in a ladder match, Alf or Howard the Duck?
Where's he at? See my Alf? Alf. Alf.
Is cheesecake a cake or a pie?
We've had this debate before.
Ooh.
I think cheesecake is more of a pie. And I could be wrong. I know this. We had a big thing going with Gordy on this and back and forth. To me, it's more of a pie, especially with the fruit on top. You know, you put your cherries, your blueberries. Cheesecake's more of a pie to me.
It has a crust and a filling. It's a pie.
Thank you.
But it's called cake.
Is a hot dog a sandwich?
A hot dog's a payday, baby.
Yeah. If you're around mid-states, that's how you get paid.
That's currency.
That is currency in my business. I don't like to go, you know, I don't consider a hot dog a sandwich. It's just a hot dog. You know, it's like bratwurst. You know,
they now, what you would consider a sandwich is that scrumptious pulled pork with that Space Cowboy dry rub, right?
Right there. That's available at a merchandise stand near you. The rub is sold out. My last show I had it at, and man, we're keeping it. But yeah, man, I don't know. I don't consider hot dog sandwiches.
Who looks more like a judge at a local chili cook-off, Mark Madden or Don West?
Oh man,
Don West, man, and he's selling it too, brother. Check out the bag. You got not one shirt, two shirts, three DVDs, an action figure. Yeah, Don West.
Who looks more like somebody you'd see on a jar of spaghetti sauce, Conrad Thompson or Captain Lou Albano?
Captain Lou. That's good. These are great, Sumo.
Wrestling pets, Damien, Frankie, or Matilda? I think I know the answer.
Matilda. Love a bulldog.
If you could ask Vince McMahon one question, what would it be?
What happened to professional wrestling? Why did you kill professional wrestling?
Mega Powers or Ultimate Maniacs?
Oh. Mega Powers.
What's creepier, seeing eyes looking at you through the cracks from a bathroom stall or seeing eyes looking at you into the bathroom stall?
Oh, God.
I told you some of these were non-wrestling related and very random, so.
I don't want to, how about none of the above? I don't want to make eye contact with anybody when I'm in the bathroom.
What do you think more likely exists, Bigfoot or aliens?
Aliens exist. I don't know, man. There's got to be something out there. I think there's probably some rare breed of like, man, bear, pig that's running around somewhere.
Man, bear, pig.
Yeah, so probably both. But if I had to, like, wager, you know, who would win in a fight? Bigfoot or the aliens? Probably the aliens.
Yeah.
Your favorite carnival or county fair food?
Oh, man, let's sit down and get a list on this. I like cotton candy because I'm a fat guy. Funnel cakes are hard to beat, though. But those foot-long corn dogs, son. It's probably my jam. But you know me, though. If I'm going to, like, SDC, it's a big old turkey leg. $13 leg. Nom, nom.
In their prime party days, who do you think would drink the most windy wine, Ric Flair or Michael P.S. Hayes?
Ooh, Ric Flair.
Yeah.
Jimmy Fallon or Jim Fallon?
Oh, please choose Jimmy.
Jimmy Fallon.
Chuck Berry or Michael Berry?
They both pee on people for a living, so.
Chuck who?
Michael Berry.
Sesame Street or Bad Street?
Bad Street. Oh.
Easy E or Stephen E?
Just because he's on here, Stephen E.
And last but not least, Bill Monroe or Roscoe Monroe?
Gator bait.
Gator bait, yo. I've beat the piss out of Roscoe so much. Probably Roscoe just because he keeps coming back and getting the piss beat out of him. But I like me some Bill Monroe.
Hey, real quick, how can people book you?
Write me a check. No. Venmo, Cash App me, PayPal me. Just reach out, man. The best way to
what's
get
that,
me is social media, man. Facebook, The Space Cowboy, Jason Jones. I'm on Instagram, all that good stuff. You can contact Mid-States Wrestling if you want to book any of your favorite superstars.
I've got his cell phone number that I can throw out there. Real
don't quick. Be throwing my cell
phone. Let me look that up.
Hey.
I hate to
accidentally put your cell phone. Space Cowboy is not your friend.
Space Cowboy is not your friend. Yeah. Yeah, that's the best way. Get me on social media. Send me a message. Say, hey, you want to come wrestle this fundraiser for this thing? And I'll be like, what's your finish? kid. Can't wait to kick out of it.
I can't wait to kick out. I can't wait to steal it.
That about wraps it up. Follow us on Facebook at The Slop Drop, on Twitter at The Slop Drop 1, wherever you find your podcast. We are there. Leave us a good rating, a good review. Subscribe to us on YouTube. And as always, thank you all for listening. Until next time, we're out of here. MSWtickets.com.
Goodbye and good night. 1, 2, 3.